저는 그러니까 박자는 느끼자. 죄를 범가 느끼자. 죄를 범가 느끼자. 죄를 범가 느끼자.
On this day, we have what are called special remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. Although any remembrance of Srila Prabhupada must be special today. Because Srila Prabhupada is very special. But according to the Vaishnav system, we particularly celebrate the appearance day and the disappearance days of great Vaishnavas. The disappearance day of a great Vaishnava is considered a festival day, a day of celebration. It means that it's the celebration of a great Vaishnava going back to the spiritual world, back to Krishna. But from our point of view, it may not seem to be very nice. From our point of view, we are simply left here without the association. Us, we're never bereft of the association of great devotees. That a Vaishnava dies to live. The reason is, he tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in self. The Vaishnava dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. Actually, we don't speak of Vaishnavas dying. That is a term that may be applied to an ordinary mundane person, but we say that he has entered into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Maybe you know, once a journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, what will happen to this movement when you die? Prabhupada replied that, I will never die. He said, I will live forever in my books.
I said,
and you can utilize. So Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, then read my books. Read his books means one has to read in the attitude of a disciple. And rascals and demons also read Prabhupada's books because they want to find so-called faults. But one who actually reads Prabhupada's books in the spirit of submissive service, then he must also follow what is in the books. Srila Prabhupada is none different from his books.
Yep.
Srila Prabhupada's books are unique. Many great acharyas have composed commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vaishnava literatures. One of the main functions of an acharya is to present and explain the Vaishnava literatures for the benefit especially of the Vaishnava community and for society in general. But Srila Prabhupada's purports, even among those of Vaishnava acharyas, are unique in many ways. But especially because of the preaching mode that Prabhupada builds into his purports, that everyone can feel when they read Prabhupada's books how Prabhupada is present in his words and is preaching to everyone to surrender to Krishna. In every line and every word of Prabhupada's books, we feel Prabhupada's urgency.
This has a tongue like that.
Every line, every word, the implicit rhythm is surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna.
Sure.
Prabhupada is certainly present as his books. Those who follow, they can, the instructions in Prabhupada's books can appreciate Prabhupada's presence, his instructions, which is further manifest as his movement, his disciples' disciples. This whole project has come up, it's all Prabhupada's mercy. Of course, parampara means the mercy is being carried. So, it's the great mercy of Srila Shivaram Maharaj and others, bringing Krishna here. So we can perceive that Prabhupada is still here. But at the same time, we're celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. In other ways, Prabhupada is not present. We can't fly off to the place in the world where Prabhupada is to have his darshan in the way that we could previously. When we go to Mayapur festival, it's previously Mayapur festival meant all the devotees would come together and hear from Srila Prabhupada. So there are differences also. And certainly with the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are all feeling, especially on this day, the separation from Srila Prabhupada more. As I was saying, it's a day for special remembrance. At every moment of every day, we should remember Srila Prabhupada. But especially on this day, we have to stop, take stock of our position, and put everything in focus. Because in the day-to-day activities, we may sometimes not be so much focused that everything we're doing is on the order of Prabhupada, everything we're doing is the mercy of Prabhupada, everything we do is meant for the service of Srila Prabhupada, everything we do is meant for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So that we are doing, in as much as we are in Krishna consciousness, but in the course of performing so many activities, we may sometimes not have such strong remembrance of that by whose mercy, on whose order, and for whose pleasure we are doing all these activities. But on this day especially, we have to stop and remember that tumara karunasha, everything is we're doing is Prabhupada's mercy. And that is the special feature of a Vaishnava guru. There are various gurus from various sampradayas who teach various philosophies. But a Vaishnava guru is addressed as His Divine Grace. His Divine Grace means, grace of course means mercy, and His Divine Grace means that He is the personification of Krishna's mercy. As we sing every morning, Samsara dava nalayut haloka charaya karanya ghana ghana dham praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanarayanam. We offer our respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the spiritual master who is receiving benediction, bringing mercy from the ocean of mercy. Krishna is the ocean of mercy. Krishna is the reservoir of all auspicious qualities, of which His mercy, especially His mercy upon His devotees, is the most important quality. So when we say Guru's mercy, that actually means Krishna's mercy. But Guru is empowered by Krishna to distribute mercy. He's the representative of Krishna, empowered representative. So the duty of a Vaishnava Acharya is to distribute the mercy of Krishna, just as the rain takes, the cloud takes mercy from the ocean and rains it down. So similarly, everyone burning in the forest fire of material existence, they can be relieved by the mercy coming from the rain cloud of the mercy of the spiritual master. So particularly in this Kali Yuga, mercy is required. No one can approach Krishna by his own endeavors. But when Krishna, by his mercy, admits a devotee into his entourage, then only can he enter. But Krishna, he gives the duty of recommending to his own devotees, his internal devotees, who are Krishna Preshtha, those who are very dear to Krishna. And from time to time, Krishna sends such devotees into this world to reclaim the conditioned souls. In this Kali Yoga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He is Patita Bhavana Gora Hari, the savior of the most fallen. But he particularly gave the responsibility for distributing that mercy very widely to Srila Prabhupada. Previously, the greatest example of mercy was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering Jagayan that time. It was astonishing. All the people of Navadvip and even Yamaraj himself were all astonished because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai, two great sinners. And this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated his quality of unreserved mercy. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated his quality of mercy thousands and millions of times more through the person of Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that his name would be chanted in every town and village of the world. But he didn't personally go throughout the world. Previously, before Prabhupada went to the West, many Bengali Vaishnavas would read this, in the course of reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, they would read this verse. Prithivite acche tata nagaranti gram sabhate pachahoide maranam. That Krishna consciousness will be preached in every town and village of the world. But there was no indication, there was no external indication that this would actually happen. And it seemed that the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had become one of the many sects within Vaishnavism and within Hinduism in India. And mostly followed by Bengalis, Oriyas, Bengali, and mostly other parts of India, they're not much concerned what Bengalis are doing. They have their own culture. They are Sri Vaishnavs, or worshippers of Sitaram, or Shaivites, or out and out Mayavadis, or whatever. So if one was born in Bengal, in a Bengali Vaishnav family, you could be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So tell that to you.
And there are a few people who are not born in Vaishnava families, but who by the influence of Vaishnava preachers, they also became Vaishnavas in Bengal. But there was no sign of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings becoming even more than a Bengali cult, what to speak of, a worldwide cult. It wasn't expected that South Indians or Gujaratis or Biharis or Nepalis, they'd all become Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
Check Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
So you would read Prithivite acche tata nagaranti sabhate pachahoide maranam. Some nice poetry. No one had any idea it could actually be meant to be true. All the Vaishnava acharyas, they had their plan that Krishna consciousness should be spread very widely through Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk in South India with some of his disciples.
Yes.
And one of them said that brought some of the latest objections, lucubrations from some of his godbrothers. That Srila Prabhupada, some of your godbrothers say that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, he would have done it himself. But as he didn't do it, then they say that you, Srila Prabhupada, you shouldn't do it either. Very wonderful conclusion. So Prabhupada stopped and put his cane in the ground. And he said very gravely that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not preach in the Western countries because he wanted to give the credit to me. Just like Krishna did not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but he wanted to give the credit to Arjuna. So the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give has been spread very widely by Srila Prabhupada. Atra patra picha nahi nahi stana stan jai jaha pai tare gaya premata. He said that the pancha tattva, they did not discriminate in the matter of preaching. But whoever, qualified or not qualified, if they had any opportunity, they would spread love of God to anyone. But this is particularly true of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave Krishna consciousness to people who, according to the Vedic conception, are not even really human beings at all. Once I was traveling and preaching in Bangladesh, where there are many bogus incarnations of God. Many, many, not just one or two.
Sure.
No shortage of incarnations.
So, one time we happened to come across one of our main ideological enemies, one famous guru who purported to be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was a follower of one so-called incarnation of God. And we were discussing with him, not very cordially. So, he was saying that, well, actually, you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached mostly among the Brahmins and the high-class people. So, the Jagat Bandhu, the person he calls God, he said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come again, but this time he preached among all the low-class people, and in this way he really fulfilled his mission, because he preached among the outcasts and the rejected members of Hindu society. So then he said, well, this proves that he's God. He said, well, what about Srila Prabhupada? He preached among us. We're much more fallen than the lowest people in Hindu society. And millions of times we were fallen. Prabhupada not only preached among us, but he taught us the proper way of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come again, but this time he preached among all the low-class people, and in this way he really fulfilled his mission. But he never claimed to be God. He was always presenting himself as the humble servant of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To deliver even one fallen person is a very great mercy. It's not considered possible, practically, to deliver someone who is meat-eater, a drunkard, a lecher, and so many other normal qualities of the Western people. Srila Prabhupada went to preach in the West, and no one gave him any encouragement, no one thought it was possible. This is also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. To show to the person of Srila Prabhupada how much faith one should have, and that the real wealth of a devotee is his firm faith in the order of the spiritual master. Because Srila Prabhupada had nothing else. He had no material assets. Even the 40 rupees he brought, he couldn't use that in America. He had no friends in America, no organization, no governmental backing, nothing. He was just there in the middle of America. Hell. With himself, just himself, who mostly people couldn't understand what he was, difficult to understand what he was saying anyway. Apart from the concepts Prabhupada was explaining, even his voice and diction were difficult to understand. So Prabhupada had no asset but his faith in the holy name, faith in the order of his spiritual master. Prabhupada had faith in the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poured oceans of mercy through Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, it's not possible to do what Srila Prabhupada did. Now we take it as a very ordinary thing that there are devotees from all over the world, but 40 years ago, no one could have imagined. Sadhu, in India the word sadhu means an Indian. Vaishnav means an Indian. Brahmana means it must be an Indian. It's there's no such thing as a white sadhu. It just doesn't exist. It's just not heard of or imagined or possible. And Prabhupada didn't think like that. He wrote as he was in his prayers as he came to America. He wrote to his spiritual master. Tomar kripai asambhav sambhav hoy. By your mercy, that which is impossible becomes possible. This again is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Stated by Shankaracharya, that by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that which is not possible becomes possible. But those who don't have that faith, they will take it as poetry. Mm-hmm. How can a lame man cross mountains? How can a dumb man recite poetry? Mm-hmm. A
that everything is possible by the grace of Krishna. One of the astonishing features of Krishna is that he makes his devotee appear to be more than him. Lord Ram had to cross over the ocean by building a bridge. An extraordinary bridge, no doubt, but he had to build it. But by the grace of Lord Ram, Hanuman could simply jump. No need of a bridge. Similarly, Arjuna, he could fight and defeat all the great warriors, which was not possible for him actually. But Krishna empowered him to do so. In this way, Hanuman and Arjuna, they appeared to be more than Rama and Krishna. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Prabhupada to do that which is not possible. And Prabhupada is still doing it. Still, people are reading Prabhupada's books and their lives are changing. The most significant thing that can happen to anyone's life is to take one of Srila Prabhupada's books. There are so many cases even today of people who just by reading their whole life changes on the spot. Because Srila Prabhupada is Shaktyavish, he is empowered with the potency of the Supreme Personality of God to do that which is not possible otherwise. What Srila Prabhupada had his followers do, no one could have done. To get the young hippies in America in the 1960s to give up intoxication and illicit sex, it was not possible. The government agencies, they were wondering how to stop these people taking drugs. So many of them did so simply on Srila Prabhupada's order. They were taking drugs, they were becoming hippies because they had given up faith in anything that society had to offer. But they had such faith in Prabhupada that they could even give up illicit sex, which is very difficult to give up, especially when you have a habit. But they had faith that Prabhupada had something real, something beyond the frustration. That this is reality, this is what we're actually looking for. So these miracles are still going on. Prabhupada is present as much as we want him to be. Prabhupada also declared that ISKCON is non-different from him. ISKCON will be non-different from him as much as we keep Srila Prabhupada here in ISKCON by following his instructions. These festivals, Vyasa Puja and Disappearance Day of the Spiritual Master, are certainly very emotional festivals. When we consider the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has poured upon us, it's quite natural that devotees, they will simply cry. If they don't, there's something wrong. Actually, devotees, they cry on considering the mercy of Srila Prabhupada upon them. I heard, I wasn't there, but the first Vyasa Puja or Disappearance Day festival, his first Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada, after his disappearance, must have been 1978, in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor. So most of the devotees at that time were still disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And one by one they came up to speak about Srila Prabhupada, but hardly any of them could say anything. It was simply they were all crying, remembering Prabhupada's mercy upon them. And the pain of considering that we won't see Prabhupada anymore in this lifetime. Although Prabhupada has shown how we can see him, we must see him. That by going on getting his mercy, by following his instructions. As Prabhupada has written, very kindly instructed us how to accept the disappearance of the spiritual master. And in the physical absence of the spiritual master, devotees take solace in following his instructions. So devotees can continue to get Srila Prabhupada's mercy by stringently following his instructions. Certainly an emotional festival to remember Srila Prabhupada in this way. But it should not be simply sentiment. Sentiment is not bad. Certainly we should have sentiment for Srila Prabhupada. But the real feeling we have to demonstrate by following his instructions. Knowing that that will please him. And that not following his instructions will not please him. So if we're
grateful to Srila Prabhupada, which we certainly must be. We should certainly express that by pleasing Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions. Maybe I'll just tell about some few experiences of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, as I say, he's an ocean of mercy, he's brought the ocean of mercy. And everyone who has a relationship with Srila Prabhupada who can experience that mercy, particularly in their own lives, is a great acharya. Srila Prabhupada was empowered with the potency of Krishna. Krishna, he has the ability to intimately relate with every living being. And he empowers his great devotees to also relate with and uplift many, many, many other jivas. So many, many devotees have experienced the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in their own lives. And they are continuing to do that. I also have some experiences of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Although we can't measure that mercy, it's unlimited mercy. The nature of the transcendental ocean of mercy is that even one drop of it is unlimited. No one can measure the extent of even one drop of mercy by any material means. Simply to get one book of Srila Prabhupada's is far more mercy than having a lifetime's free admittance into the best hospitals in the world. It's a better mercy than winning all the lotteries in the world. Foolish people, they pray to God, "Dear God, let me win the lottery. Dear God, please improve my health." Much, much, much greater mercy is simply to come in contact with Krishna through his pure devotees. So we cannot measure the mercy that Srila Prabhupada pours even at one moment upon any one of us who have come into the shelter of his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada is pouring so much mercy, but we are holding an umbrella. We're not accepting his mercy. This is our great misfortune. But whatever little mercy we're accepting, we can experience that is far, far better than anything the whole material world has to offer. So I also had some experiences. Although, too much holding the umbrella. Due to material attachments, we're not properly accepting the mercy Srila Prabhupada is ready to give. But there's another feature of his mercy that despite our reluctance to accept it, he is continuous to push us to accept his mercy. So I was allowed to join this woman in 1975. As you know, Srila Prabhupada passed away in 1977. And although I can't properly appreciate Prabhupada now, but I must say that during those first 2 years in the movement, I really didn't have very much appreciation of Prabhupada. I mean, I didn't appreciate, but as I read Prabhupada's books more and I understood more the position of the spiritual master, then my appreciation increased more after Prabhupada's departure from this world. So anyway, I saw Prabhupada a few times from a distance as he was giving classes. The last time I saw Srila Prabhupada was about 1 month before he passed away. We were in traveling Sankirtan book distribution in North India. And we could have been staying in Vrindavan and chanting for Prabhupada. But we thought that, well, Prabhupada, he very much likes this book distribution. So let us go on with the book distribution mission. Now, as far as I can understand, most of the devotees in the movement at that time never thought that Prabhupada was going to pass away. Although anyone else would, doctors, they were saying that we're amazed how he's still here. And most people, they wouldn't remain in such a body. It's not fit for habitation by the soul. Of course, they would express that in medical terms. But Prabhupada was like, he was almost like playing a game with the devotees. And as he'd say, yes, now I want to pass away, I don't want to stay now. And other times he'd say, I will live to be 130 years old. I will translate the Ramayana, Vedanta Sutra, Brahmavivarta Purana, Shachandarbha, so many things Prabhupada said. Specifically said, if you increase the book distribution, I will live forever. So devotees are going wild everywhere distributing books. And most of us, I know, we didn't really take it seriously that Prabhupada is going to pass away. We didn't even think about it. Just like you can imagine, you can't imagine, that's the whole thing, but you can't imagine that the sun won't rise tomorrow. It's something you don't think about or imagine. And even if someone comes in some New Age magazine and says that on such and such a day, the sun will not rise anymore, you don't take it seriously. So it's like that. There was like, somewhere in the background, there was some kind of talk that Prabhupada was going to look like he could pass away any time. And we knew that. We were praying to Krishna that please don't let Prabhupada pass away. But at the same time, we never really thought it was going to happen. So anyway, we were distributing books in North India. And one day our party leaders said, let's go and take darshan of Prabhupada. So we drove all day. And in the evening, this was October 1977, and in the evening we came to Vrindavan, took bath, and went into Srila Prabhupada's room. Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj, who I knew previously from London, who was still a brahmachari at that time, he said, do you want to go into Prabhupada's room? Yeah, of course. Went in, and the room was quite full, chanting very quietly. And I'd never seen Srila Prabhupada like this before. I've always seen Prabhupada walking very strongly, the general in command of his troops. Prabhupada was lying on his bed. We've heard that saying, only skin and bones. And although Prabhupada's form was transcendental, it appeared like that. Very, very sharp decisions. So, chanting very quietly, Mahamantra was one of the small pair of cartels. Very slight ching. And then Srila Prabhupada asked to be sat up. He asked the brothers to sit him up. And there was some discussion about taking some food. I didn't realize at the time, and until many years later, I didn't realize this was the first time that Prabhupada was going to take any food for months, actually. So they brought some, I think it was some strawberries. And then Prabhupada started saying, in a very slow voice, and he was being held up in his bed. Prabhupada started reciting Sharir, Vidya, Jal, very slow, very slowly. Prabhupada, he forgot all about taking prasada, and he just started preaching to the devotees how the senses and a network of paths leading to death. Prabhupada was speaking very slowly and very quietly. All the devotees were straining to hear. It was the same Prabhupada preaching to us. He went on preaching and we had to be very careful to control the senses. Just despite that physical condition, was fully enthusiastic to guide and preach to his disciples. So that was the last darshan I had of Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. The next morning again, left to go on Sankirtan. Mm-hmm. Actually, I transferred at that point from a party based in Bombay to a party based in Mayapur. Actually, on the day Prabhupada passed away, I was in Mayapur. Just come back from a tour of the northeastern states of India. And the standard there was, when we came back, we'd go out for weeks course, I'd only been on the party a few weeks because I just joined it. But later, I came to find out that the usual standard for that party was we'd arrive in the morning in Mayapur, clean out the bus, fill it up with books, and go out for another few weeks. Mm-hmm. Same day, we'd go out. It just so happened, it's another long story, how we were arrested by the police and everything. But we only arrived in Mayapur at early afternoon on November 14th, 1977. And so we didn't manage to get everything together to leave the same day. So you have to remember this was India in 1977 in Mayapur, where there was one phone, but it didn't really work very well. There wasn't much communication with the outside world. So, making a phone call was like a major endeavor. So, November 14th night, we took rest, got up the next morning, went through the morning program, just as normal, we had no idea. Then, after Guru Puja, the devotee, he made an announcement. You know what the announcement is. And everyone is just... Everyone is just stunned. Immediately some program was organized. The glorification of Prabhupada. But it was like several weeks, and the whole movement was stunned for weeks and months afterwards. At least that was my experience. I was in Calcutta mostly for some weeks after that. It was just like, I mean, we were all doing our services, but it was like all the devotees were just, it was like in a state of shock for several months. It was just practically the only thing we discussed. We were just like, how can we go on without Srila Prabhupada? Although we were going on. Doing all the same activities were going on as previously. We just couldn't imagine what does it mean to exist without Prabhupada. I guess it was still suffering from the shock. We have to learn to live without Prabhupada's personal presence and guidance, and understand what Prabhupada wants of us. And that is going on. The movement, Krishna conscious movement, has actually spread much, much more after Prabhupada left this world. There were no centers in Hungary. No one who could have imagined preaching in these communist countries. Even Prabhupada's disciples couldn't imagine how is it possible. No one would have considered preaching here if Prabhupada hadn't personally pushed to so many countries that the movement wasn't present at all. So Prabhupada's books have been distributed, translated, distributed, Zoni centers have been established. So everything was going on by Prabhupada's blessings. And that we always have to remember. Everything is possible by Prabhupada's blessings. As much as we remember that, then we'll be blessed. Krishna consciousness, we call very nice. And as much as we forget that we have to receive Krishna's mercy through Srila Prabhupada, then so many problems will come. It's a very, very simple point. Crucial and essential. But, as we sing in here, Jogata Pichare Kichu Nahi Bhai Tomar Karun Shah. That if you examine me, you will find no good qualities. That your mercy is all that I need. So, that's especially true of us. And many people in India, they can think, well, after all, they're from a nice, pious background. And it's a cultural heritage to chant Hare Krishna. But for us in the Western countries, we had no hope. Our birth as a human being was only superficial, because without knowledge of Krishna, what is the meaning of taking a human birth anyway? Simply you're born and you go to another species uselessly. But Srila Prabhupada, not the knowledge of Krishna that made us alive, otherwise we're dead. So we have to keep Prabhupada alive in our hearts by always being ready to accept his mercy. Without that, we don't have any spiritual life. We don't have any life. Mm-hmm. Then we become again zombies, Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Body is moving, but there's no meaning to that moment. It's a living death. It's a very dangerous situation right now. This material world is very, very dangerous. At any moment, Maya can capture us. So our only hope is to know the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who can save us in this very dangerous situation. Srila Prabhupada saved us, and will go and save us if we pray to him, please save him. Therefore, on this day in particular, we praise Srila Prabhupada. We make special note to praise him. Actually, that every moment that should be the function. Mm-hmm. We start every day with the prayer to the spiritual master, with the resolve to meditate upon his lotus feet at least 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. But actually, that meditation should be constant. Mm-hmm. As much as we remember Krishna and by whose mercy we have any hope of any connection with Krishna, that much we're in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. As much as we forget that, then we're lost. Mm-hmm. So, the normal function to praise spiritual master has disappeared again. There are no words, actually, that can properly glorify the spiritual master. Still, it is the duty pleasure of the disciple to attempt to do so. Our real appreciation must be in our activities. We must act in such a way that Srila Prabhupada will be glorified, mm-hmm. and act in such a way that he will be pleased. I cannot imagine how pleased Srila Prabhupada is to see this project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada wanted this so much. He wanted places where people can live simply chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada wanted to give shelter to the whole world, yes. by establishing these Vaishnava communities. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt that Prabhupada is very, very pleased with this. So please continue here to live according to the principles given by Srila Prabhupada. And continue to please Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Is anyone else going to speak? Anyone else will say anything? So then we'll all go to our services. One of my services is writing books. So I also try to distribute them. So this is, I'm going on with my service now. Some of the books I've prepared on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.